Good to see you. It's always a good day when we're together with the Lord. Will you not tell it today? In our last lesson, we had looked at the very first part of the book of John, and we talked a little bit about the three gifts from Jesus. That first gift, of course, was His Word. Yeah, the world, I mean. He gave us this world. He created the wall, the ball that we live on. He gave us this world so that we could work and have pleasure here. And the second gift that we saw there was His Word, the Word that came down from heaven, the Word that became flesh, the Word that was the light of the world that the world could not overcome or comprehend. And then, of course, the third gift was salvation. Salvation in Christ Jesus, as we looked at that, and we were taught that as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become, or the power to become, the children of God, there in verse 12 of chapter 1. And I think that, you know, obviously Jesus has given us so many gifts, and that's just a real short view of some of the things that Jesus has done for us out of His great love. And then this year, our theme that you notice on the screen from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, you know, while we were still transgressors, we were still in our sins, God, He made us alive together with Christ. And that's just a wonderful thought, that our fellowship, the union that we have, is through the Spirit of God. It's through Christ Jesus. And that, you just doesn't get better than that. And so we continue now in the chapter, and today I'd like to talk to you about the power of one voice. One voice. It's just amazing to think about what one voice can accomplish in such a very short time. And we'll be looking today, verses 19 through 23 was our opening scripture, where we really heard the proclamation of one man who was that, at that time, the one voice sent from God. And then we'll go on and look at through the chapter, even up to chapter verse 42 of chapter 1, and we'll see kind of what happened from that one voice. And I hope that we can be encouraged to realize that our one voice makes a difference. And when you start combining all those voices, it makes a bigger difference. And that's what we're going to see here in this little bit of the book of John. And so to our first point here, John the Baptist, we want to think about him that very first day. And we know that here that the Jews had sent the Pharisees and the Levites, the priests and the Levites rather. We see how they had sent them to talk to John. In verse 19, we see they were sent and to talk to John. They wanted to ask that question, who are you? And as we notice, John the Baptist, he told them who he wasn't. He kept redirecting, I'm not. If they asked him, are you Elijah? I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet? I'm not the prophet. Well, who are you? And of course, we know the answer that he gave beginning in verse 23. What do you say about yourself? And you know, he didn't really talk about himself. He didn't say, well, I'm John the Baptist and I go around the country baptizing people for the remission of sins and I was born here and I eat locusts and wear camel hair and my father was... No, he didn't do that. He just gets to the most important point. He didn't really tell them who he was as much as he told them what he was. I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. You see that? Let's talk about Jesus, in other words. Those priests and Levites, they wanted to know, who are you, Jesus? He just told them what he was. You see that? He's the voice. John the Baptist was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Just one voice that eventually over the centuries became millions of voices. Millions of people testifying and speaking about Jesus Christ and His coming into this world. One started with one one voice. And we see in this particular point here, as we look at verses 20 through 27, that Jesus is redirecting things. He's not the Christ, he's not Elijah, nor the prophet, and we see that. But what he does is he turns their attention. He turns their attention to talk about Jesus. And he literally took what they said. You know, who are you? I'm not the Christ. Who are you? Elijah? No. The prophet? No. Well, what do you say about yourself? Who are you? The voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. See, he never really answered their question. What he did is he drew the attention away from himself to what he was and his proclamation. He never reasoned with them, about baptism. He just said, I baptize in water. He's changing the conversation. He's changing the landscape. What did he do? He redirected them to talk about Jesus. Look at verse 27. You know, in verse 27, he says, it is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He talking about Jesus. In verse 26, when he talked to them about, he says, I baptize with water. That's something I do again. It's not who I am. I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. He's a voice for Jesus. Redirecting the thought. And when you think about redirecting this thought, think about this, that, you know, in verse 27, he who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to lose. Redirecting the thought. It's not about me. Yeah, I baptize in water, but the one coming after me, who's preferred before me, he's the one whose sandal strap I am not worthy even to lose. He took every question and he said, let's talk about Jesus. Let's not talk about me. We need to find ways to redirect those kinds of thoughts. John the Baptist here, you know, he's literally saying when he says that he was preferred, he's higher than me. He's more important than me. And you need to be starting to think about him. Stop asking about me. Let's talk about Jesus. This one little voice crying in the wilderness. And again, when we look, we need to find ways to redirect. Think about this. Somebody says to you, you know, my water quit working. You know, you might, in that context, you might think about John chapter 4 at verse 14. That's where Jesus said, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. You know, you can. Somebody says, my water stopped working, and you think, well, you know, that reminds me of a verse. Jesus said, the water that I shall give him will become a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life, and you can begin, use that, my water quit working, as a stepping stone to talk about Jesus. That's the kind of thing John the Baptist was doing. Who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? It's not about me. It's about the one who's coming after me that was preferred before me. The one who's here among you now. You don't even realize it. Jesus. That's who we want to focus on. And so you can use that. Another example, you know, I need to buy groceries. Or maybe somebody just simply says, I'm starving. I'm hungry. And you think about John chapter 6. And at verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. You know that, what you just said, I'm hungry, I need to buy, that reminds me of something Jesus said, I am the bread of life, and he who comes to me shall never hunger. Can we talk about Jesus? Wouldn't that be great to just use everything that anybody says as a doorway into their heart? A doorway to plant the seeds of God, a doorway to be one voice for Jesus. You know, my pen just ran out of ink. Think about that. You know, what you might come up with different verses. It doesn't matter what verse you come up with. It made me think of 2 Corinthians 3:3, where clearly you are an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not by ink, but by the Spirit of God. And you know, that reminded me of that. And can I talk to you about this, about the idea of the Spirit of the living God writing on your heart? Let's talk about Jesus. One voice. One voice. And I hope you see that, you know, anything, any one word, any kind of thing like that should be able to spark something in you. Remind you of something in the Scripture, some story or an account. Turn it into a genuine conversation about Jesus. That's John the Baptist, the one voice. And so, and on that first day, for John, it was all about Jesus. And you know what? When those priests and Levites went home at night to rest, they knew it. They knew something was up. They knew that John kept pointing them to this one. To this one who came before me and was came after me and was preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to lose. Who, you know, they had to be thinking, well, who is this? And then as we go through this text, we remember the next day. This is day two. We're talking about another day and what happened there. As we look at verses 29 through 34, pretty basic. And we think about what he says to the crowd there. This is a crowd. The same Jews, the same priests and Levites, they're all there again. And Jesus, John sees Jesus coming. And what does he say? Behold, the Lamb. As soon as he said that, they knew what he was saying. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. All these people, you know, who was there? John was evangelizing here. It was the Jews who questioned him, and many other people easily could have been there. But, you know, John didn't fear the Jews. He didn't fear the priests, the Levites. He didn't fear the Jews. He didn't temper his message. He didn't cower down. He didn't keep Jesus all to himself. He was that voice crying in the wilderness. He was screaming out about Jesus and into the ears of anyone who would listen. John wanted everyone within earshot to hear that word. Behold, the Lamb of God. You know, we could be like that every day of our lives when we're with people and we hear something, it sparks a thought about Scripture. Don't keep that thought to yourself. Open up and make some kind of comment. It opens a doorway for conversation, and you can say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the Lord I serve. This is the Lord who loves me and gave himself for me. What a wonderful thing. And John, you know, as we look at this, I want you to notice too, John didn't waste the day. He didn't waste the day. As we think of, and he got right to it. ASP. And when I think about this, you know, God in creation, God for 6 days, God worked. And I think John also, being a Jew, for 6 days, cried out, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. And I don't know, in this context, I don't know if any of those priests or those Levites or any of the Jews that might have been there, we don't know for sure, did any of them turn and follow John the Baptist towards Jesus? Were they redirected? We don't know that. But we know that they were told about him, that one voice. We know that they were told about him. And we see that in the next five verses. You know, what did John say? Look at verse 30. He says, this is he of whom I said, after me comes a man, capital M, who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Jesus was preferred before. He was before me. Jesus, incomparably greater and more excellent than I, than John the Baptist, than any of us. Jesus alone was worthy of the superior praise and regard, the superior honor. He existed before. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus was there. He existed before anyone. Jesus had divine preexistence apart from all things that He dealt with as a man here on the earth. He was in the beginning with God. John the Baptist knew that. He recognized that and he voiced that out to show people how great Jesus was. This Lamb of God, greater than us, exceedingly more excellent than us. And we can do that. We can tell of the excellency of Jesus. Look at Hebrews 1 and 13. Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. This is Jesus. In the beginning was the word of His power, the word that created all things and sustains all things. He says, when He had in Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. We can talk about the excellency of Jesus. And leads the conversation into the fact that He died for our sins, purged them by His blood, and then rose up to heaven to be at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, John the Baptist is pointing the direction to Jesus. And we can do the same thing. Look at verses 31 through 34 as we do this. And in verse 31, I did not know Him, John says, but that He should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon Him. I did not know Him, but He who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on Him, this is He who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. I didn't know Him. He was revealed to me by God. And God told me how to recognize Him as I came baptizing. You know, this is the end of the object of John's testimony. Jesus was promised. And He is the one voice at this time crying out in the wilderness. This is Him. This is the Lamb of God. This is who you need to follow. Again, He takes every opportunity to point people in the direction. You know, in verse 34, very important, and I have seen and testified this, that this is the Son of God. And as you look at that and we see that you know, He said, this is the Son of God, wouldn't it be great if we just were motivated by this to do the very same thing? This is the Son of God, Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one who died for me and the one who shed His blood so that by that blood I could have remission of sins. Well, you can too. That's what the voice does. The voice of God through the Word of God speaking to lost souls. The song that Brother Spencer led, if your faith in the Savior has brought its reward. In other words, you know, you believe in the Lord Jesus, you know what the reward is. If a strength you have found in strength of your Lord, if your life is because of Jesus, my being because of Jesus, crucified in Christ, buried with Christ, the life that I live because Christ lives in me, right? The power coming from God. If the hope and the rest of a rest in His place is sweet I'm going to go to heaven one day. I'm going to live a life, be a voice in this world, cry out to people. Let them know that Jesus saves, that Jesus' blood is powerful, more powerful than any of their sorrows, more powerful than any of their griefs, more powerful than anything upon the earth, and it can save you from your sins, and one day you can have that hope of being in heaven with God. That's my hope. Will you not bother? Will you not, brother, rather, the story repeat? See, we all need to be that voice. We all need to be like John. That one voice. But you know, there's something really powerful about that one voice. It never stayed one voice. Let's look at day 3, verses 35 through 42. As we look at this, you know, what we read again? The next day. See, we're on another day. The first day was when they first came to John, and he told them, I'm not the Christ, I'm not the Elijah, and I'm not the prophet. I'm the voice crying in the wilderness, make way the way of the Lord. This one powerful voice. That was the first day. They heard what he had to say. They had to mull that over. They had to go back. Then likely they went and they told the Pharisees who sent them. This is what he said. But then they came back. And the next day, as we look at this, is after the second day when they came back, and now the next day, now this is really getting kind of exciting. And I think it's really exciting and powerful because it's a different kind of day. You know, in verse 35 again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. These are people who have been following John who knows for how long. He's been their teacher. In many ways, he was their master. And he's with two of his disciples, John and Andrew. And what did John do? You know, he sees Jesus coming. And he doesn't say anything except, behold. Behold. The Lamb of God in verse 36. See, this is the one I told you about. No. See, I was right. No. Behold. Here you are, my disciples. Behold, the Lamb of God. And what did they do when they saw that? I believe their hearts were filled with the culmination of everything that John the Baptist had been teaching them. He was their disciples. What did they do? Why did they do it? Well, we know what they did. They just walked away from that teacher. They walked away from John the Baptist. Because I think over the years he had to have been telling them, it isn't about me. There's a Messiah coming. The Lamb of God is coming. Our Savior is coming. And when he gets here, you need to walk away from me. You need to walk away from everything in life. You need him. That one voice. Now is three voices, if you think about it. Because now Andrew and John have walked away from John the Baptist. We don't see that really unless you ponder this. Their hearts had been prepared. Their hearts had been become fertile, and this word, the idea of the coming Messiah was planted by that one voice in their hearts. The fulfillment of all his teaching. And they were ready for that moment. You know, likewise, as you think about that, we need to be seed planters. Remember, and say, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and at verse 6. Remember that? I planted, Apollos waters, and God brings forth the increase. John the Baptist planted God in their hearts. And he watered in their hearts. Who knows who else was involved, but it was God who brought the increase. God brought the Lamb of God into the world, He brought Jesus, the Savior, into the world, and their hearts were so ready for this. And there are people in this world today who are hurt. There's people who are sorrowful, suffering, agonizing, people who are just confused about everything in this world, what's going on. They don't understand, and the questions are in the Scriptures. And you have those. Be that voice. Plant the seeds into their hearts. Prepare people as you day-to-day converse with them. You know, make a plan. You go to the bank and you make a friend of one of the tellers. And every day you just talk about Jesus a little bit. Start preparing that soil. And one day you say, would you like to have a Bible study? And you know, they may just say yes. You're that voice crying out about Jesus. And as you prepare them and the time draws closer and closer and that exciting moment comes, when your seed takes hold and you see something change in them and they decide to follow Jesus because of one voice, yours. Daily, weekly, it doesn't matter. Just plant and watch what great things God can do. And another thing there is how glorious this idea is to see that John the Baptist finally says, behold the Lamb of God. Andrew and John, they turn away from him and go, they immediately go and come to the Lord. And they don't look back. They don't look back. It says here that in verse 36, looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. In verse 37, the two disciples, they heard him, John, speak. And they followed Jesus. In verse 38, Jesus turned and seeing them following, he said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? They wanted to go where he was and so that they could sit down and talk with him. Jesus said to them, come and see. And they came and saw and he was staying where he was staying, and it says, and remained with him that day. And now it was about the 10th hour. The voice of one crying. They went because of what they had been taught. They were ready. They were primed. Their hearts were ready. And when that Lord came, and when the behold the Lamb of God, those words were spoken, they just went. And they didn't say, well, let us go stay with our master today, John the Baptist. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you staying? Let's come. Let's sit with you. I want to hear about you. And I think that's really exciting in the sense that they wanted so much to fulfill all their expectations. You know, and we don't know for sure what these were Jews. Let's not forget that. Jesus said, what do you seek? We don't know for sure what they were thinking. I'm sure they had many questions, many expectations. Likely, you know, maybe they thought that Jesus came in that contemporary teaching of the Jews to be the Messiah, the King, to set up a kingdom. And we know that's not true. They didn't have a full understanding yet of the Lord yet. It hadn't been revealed. But either way, they knew this is where they needed to be. All because of one voice. And then, something else to note here. You know, the way of John the Baptist, it rubbed off. And that's how he went from one voice to two and to three and to so on. When Andrew and John had and heard the identity of Jesus, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world, verse 29, they pictured the Jesus, the Lamb of God. It causes their minds to think back on verses like Exodus chapter 12 at verse 5, where they were to take a lamb without blemish as a sacrifice, as an offering, an atonement for sin. Identifying Jesus as the Lamb of God is something we can do to the world around us. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, they may have even thought he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, he opened not his mouth. This is Jesus, the Lamb of God. And as you think, you know, it's more than that though. Because it speaks to the blood. They knew that. The lamb was a sacrifice and there had to be blood. And it was shed for the atonement of sins. They knew that. They just didn't have the full picture yet. And for the church, we think of the church and what Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 22. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, Peter says this. He says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." See, at this time we know. We know something they didn't know. And we can share that with the world. We can tell the world that He was foreordained before the foundation of the world. We can tell Him that through Him, who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him the glory so that your faith and hope are in God. We can tell people that they can obey the truth of the gospel through the Spirit with sincere love. And we can be born again, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. This is the Word. We can do that. We certainly can do that. It was Paul who said, "It's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." It's a message. And you know, this all started because of one voice. One voice at the right time in the right place, preordained by God, this one voice, one man rightfully redirecting and directing everyone, including his own disciples, to the Lamb of God, to Jesus. Be that one voice. And watch what great things can... We're talking about one day, there's just priests and Levites asking John, and then they all heard the message. This is the Lamb of God. He's the one that is better than all in the world. He was exalted above everything. He was after me, but before me, He's greater than me. We can echo that message, and every ear that heard that could have become a voice. And then on day two, John points out to all those again, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Again, teaching in the ears of the hearers, anyone who would listen, about Jesus, who He was. On day three, John, standing, two disciples, those disciples, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," he redirected them. Their emotions welled up within them. They left John and became two more voices. You know, it's obvious John and Andrew were convicted that Jesus was the Messiah. We see that in verse 41 when Andrew, it says, "He first." This is after they talked to Jesus. The two heard John speak and they followed him and they followed Jesus. And then as Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he first found his own brother Simon. He went out. Right away, he became a voice. You see it? We found the Messiah. Let me talk to you about Jesus. Jesus who loved us so much that He died for us. Jesus who can free us from our sins. Let me tell you about the love of the Savior. Let me tell you about the power of God and all the miracles that He did that no one else could do. How He raised the dead, how He made the blind to see and those who were deaf to hear and mute to speak. How He walked on water. How He raised people from the grave like Lazarus and by the power of God, and how He died upon a cross. His blood was shed, precious blood. Be that voice. He was buried 3 days in the ground. He was raised up in glory, and He now sits at the right hand of God in heaven as an intercessor for you. You need Jesus. Be that voice. Be that voice. spend the day with Jesus and share Him with everybody you come in contact with. You know, it's just another voice. Andrew, I found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. You see, with one succession from one voice, John became two. The priests and the Levites, I balked them as number two. Andrew and John, three, four, finally six. Andrew found his brother Peter, Simon, Peter. Now you got six boys, all in 3 days. Imagine what could happen. Six voices evangelizing becomes 12. 12 becomes 24. 24, 48. And on and on and on and on. Just be one voice and watch what great things happen. Do you know Jesus? Does Jesus have a place in your heart? Ask the question. You know, in the verse, last verse of the song, if the souls all around you are living in sin, look around, just see it. If the Master has told you, bid them come in, and He has. If the sweet invitation they never have heard, why? Because are you not speaking? Oh, will you not tell them the cheer-bringing word? The early church was successful at this because men and women would tell of the Messiah. They told and talked about Jesus. He was first and foremost and primary in their life. You know, have you ever noticed in the earthly affairs, earthly things, a woman, a mother, whatever, she goes out shopping and she sees this great sale on shoes. And she tells all her friends about the shoes. And what happens? All her friends rush to that store and they buy all these great shoes. The shoes are on sale. Because of her enthusiasm. She's telling them about all the, what great, man, you should see the shoes they have. What if that same woman had seen fishing lures on sale? Buy one, get 10 free lures. She probably wouldn't send anybody because she's not interested in fishing lures. Think about this. The announcement that Jesus was prophesied the Messiah, it stirred in the hearts and they wanted to tell everybody. They had that in common. They found this treasure in the field, the pearl of great price that Jesus talked about in Matthew 13. It's possible that the one church had been successful because they all loved Jesus. They were motivated by being a voice for the Lord. You know, and that on the other hand, our church is unsuccessful today in bringing souls to Christ because of the opposite. Jesus doesn't really mean that much to them. You know, many people are distracted by things of the world. Many people find their jobs and family life and education and recreation and so on as being the most important things in my life. And if so, those things mean more to them than Christ. Be motivated by that. Be the voice. We have 6 days a week and we worship on the seventh. Let's do that. Let's be a voice and see how many voices we can bring to Christ, souls. You know, it's true when our hearts are filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5 and 18, when we're filled with that Spirit, there isn't any power on earth that can stop us. When Jesus is number one in your life and you're with Him daily in study and prayer and supplication, when He's there, there's nothing in this world that can stop you from talking about Him. Talking about God's saving grace through the Lord Jesus Christ, leading people to Christ. Oh, will you not tell it today? And we know that there's the account when we think of this, oh, will you not tell it today? We need to tell people about Jesus, about the God's Son who came into the world to save sinners like us. He tells us to be to learn and be taught John chapter 6, verse 45. Tell it today. And go from there and talk about how important it is to believe in Jesus and to believe His Word, John chapter 8, verse 24. Tell it today. Let's talk about sin. Let's talk about the need to repent, Luke 13, 3. Tell it today. And if you believe these things and you repent, why not be baptized? Or confess Jesus, rather, Matthew 10 and 32. Why not confess Jesus before men and then be baptized to wash away your sins? Acts 22, verse 16. Tell it today. You may be surprised what happens. You may be surprised how many voices you add to the body of Christ who go out and do the same thing. Tell it today. Tell it today. Jesus said, live faithful until death. Tell it today. And if you haven't, change. Repent. And then begin to tell it today. Do you have a need this day? If you do, please, don't hesitate. Come forward and sit in the front pew while we stand and sing.